This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Welcome into The Jump Around 3.0. I am Jim Rutledge. I am still out sick if you've been following along with Jim, Matt, and Molly. I'm feeling better, definitely good enough to do this show, but I also don't want to bring whatever it is I have to the Everlight Solar Studio and make our good friend Pablo Iglesias sick or Primetime Warshine, where I'm assuming Riley Yauch is lurking somewhere behind Primetime as well. So didn't want to make anyone sick, so I am continuing just living in loungewear, Pablo, and doing my best to keep my voice while we do these radio shows.
The athleisure look. I love it, Jim. Well, thank you for looking out for our immune systems. Thank you for all that. Look, I'm totally going to curse it by saying like this, but I'll flex a little bit and just say the immune system's always rocking. I'm ready to go. I'm a strong human being, man. I'm not saying throw anything my way. I was just going to say, man,
I haven't been sick in a long time, especially sick like this.
No, it's been a weird time. It's been a weird time right now.
I'll tell you this. It's not the worst thing. It's more just rundown. Mm-hmm. There was one rough night where I had the chills and a fever, and then otherwise, more just that rundown feeling. And also trying to talk at a high volume does put a tax. You feel it afterwards. But we got a lot to get into today. And first, if you're just tuning in, Sharif Chambliss is going to be joining the show a little bit later in the show. He's our Steinhoffel's guest, and we're excited to be having him join the show a little bit later. We got a lot to do today and a lot of fun things to talk about. But what I first want to get into is Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle. And what Barry Alvarez had to say on the Great Dane Huddle was pretty, I would say, splashy, newsworthy. There was maybe a aftershock to it.
Yeah, I feel like that this bite that we're getting ready to play, I can't say I was shocked. I think it was a long overdue. We know that Coach has always been a guy who's never afraid to say what's on his mind. I felt like that throughout this season, though, with the Great Dane Huddle, he's been offering a lot of positive feedback, a lot of positive support for Luke Fickell, and I still believe he does support the administration or, you know, everybody that's part of this program right now and leading. But I think for Coach to sound off this way, it got things going. It got me fired up. Everybody feels the same way. And the fact now that Barry Alvarez said what he said, guys, it was pretty juicy. It was juicy for sure.
Yeah, so let's hear on the Great Dane Huddle, Coach Barry, athletic director, retired athletic director, the legend, the godfather, Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle.
This spring practice is important because after having a losing season, there has to be a pride in this team that they want to come back and bounce back and be relevant again. And I don't like it. Nobody likes. I mean, we went a long time. We worked our fannies off to start winning, win championships, and be good, and go to bowl games every year. And damn it, we better did it better than everybody for 20 some years, after not going for like a million years. And so now these guys have to fight their ass off to get back into that groove. I hope that they understand that. They've got a responsibility. I don't like where we are right now. They need to bounce back and put this program back where it belongs.
Jim, I'm going to say right off the bat, Barry, to just say they got to get their asses. They got to wake up. All that fired me up, and I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, man, that's crazy. I don't know what else to say, man. That just got me fired up, and I'm like. But everything that he said to me, I don't think Coach is wrong. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I do want to ask this question, and you can chime in on the YouTube stream because we are on YouTube. This is a digital show. Jim Rutledge, Pablo Iglesias with you, The Jump Around. We'll have a Steinhoffel guest coming up a little bit later in the show. That's Sharif Chambliss, and we're excited for that. But I want to talk about Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle. And you can chime in. When was the last time Badger football was relevant? You can chime in on the YouTube comments there, and we'll happily share those comments on the show. When was the last time Wisconsin football was relevant? Barry Alvarez right there was candid in a way that up until he joined the ESPN Wisconsin team, you never saw. He would have those conversations with people he knew and trusted off air. But now Barry is in his, I'm just going to say what I want to say era, and I'm here for it. And so there's no lies spoken there. We do have on the cry on to the left that Chris Orr joins the Chiefs. And then, you know, we'll get to that in a minute, but I see that and Chris Orr pops up too. And he carried that pride of being a Badger. And what I say here might not necessarily sit well with all Badger players and all Badger alumni and maybe even Badger media. But for me, the last time Badger football was truly relevant, I would say was the end of the 2017 season. Because that year, they what, went 13-1, is that correct? And then won the Orange Bowl. And so that is the year that they kind of ended their run of just sustained excellence. There was a little dips, you know, up and down, a little bit under Brett Bielema, a little bit under Gary Anderson. But in general, Badger football was cranking them out. So yeah, the 2017 season, they went 13-1. And then in 2018, 8-5, then their last 10-win season, 2019. So that's why I say 2017 was the end of their run as being a fully relevant team. I know they went to the Rose Bowl when they went 10-4. But the fact that they went to the Pinstripe Bowl the year before that, and obviously the COVID season, but 4-3, and then 9-7, 7-6, and 5. The 17 was truly the end of the era. 19 to me at this point was a hiccup. And because Badger football, Pablo, and I want you can hop in here, from 2009 through that run in 2017 had two seasons. 9 wins and 8 wins, 2 seasons. The last year of Brett Bielema and the first year of Gary Anderson, so it was a transition there, that they did not win 10 games. And Gary Anderson's first season, they won 9. And so for me, that is sustained excellence. And you can go all the way back to 2005. If you go to 2005, you're still mixing in 4 seasons of not winning 10 games from 2005 to 2017. That was a little bit of Barry Alvarez and the Brett Bielema, a little cameo from Gary Anderson, and then Paul Christ. And why does this matter? And this is what I want to get your opinion to, Pablo, is one, I think the last time the Badgers were truly a nationally relevant team, because to me, you have to be sustained excellence, not a little blip on the radar like 2019 was, 2017. That was their last, that was the end of the era. If you want to go 2019, that's fine. But here's the thing. The Badger football program, at a bare minimum, if you want to be generous, started this downward spiral in 2009, after the 2019 season. 4-3, 9-4, they won the Vegas Bowl. Cool. And then 7-7-5. So football has been on a downward trajectory, I think, since about 2017, with the blip in 2019. And that's a reflection at the end of the era with Paul Christ. And then obviously, Luke Fickell not coming in and turning it. But this is not, we cannot paint this as just a Luke Fickell problem. This is a Badger football on a downward spiral for a while now problem.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 2019 versus 2017 as we look at this. I have to stick with 2019 as the team. For me, at least, that feels like it's the most relevant. I hadn't come to Madison until 2021. I basically learned about the lore of Wisconsin football. I have never experienced a team that has been overly successful. The first season, I think, because everybody had come back, whether it was, you know, using their COVID year, the defense, running it back, whatever you want to phrase it, as the 2021 defense, Jim Leonard was great. That team's defense was stacked and should have been in a better position than with the hand that they were dealt. But going with 2019, the reason why I feel like that team, it's not just the Rose Bowl appearance, and they did lose a close one. They win 10 games, but I'm also looking at this here. They finished 11th in the AP poll. Granted, yes, 2017, I believe, from looking at here, they finished 7th in the AP poll. But the strength of schedule, they had the second hardest schedule, according to the stats I'm looking at here. They have the second hardest schedule that season compared to 2017, 15th, which, you know, it's still pretty up there. It's top 20. But for this team to compete the way that they did, I still have to stick to the guns and say that it's 2019. For me, that team that felt relevant, they went to the Rose Bowl. It's Jonathan Taylor's last year. There are a mix of reasons why I feel like that. When we talk about the term relevance, you know, what makes this program, what makes this team relevant is the bowl success and the fact that they have a prime guy who's going to the NFL or multiple guys led by Jonathan Taylor. That's where I feel like the last year, when we look at this string of how Badger football has been, that's the year that I'd have to pick was truly the most relevant.
And I mean, I'm not going to fight you hard. It was definitely a relevant season. My case is that the dominance and the sustained relevance of the Badgers died after the 2017 season. Because realistically, the name, Taylor, if it wasn't for Taylor, this team is cooked. And I know they recruited him. But think about where this program is if Taylor leaves it. If Taylor isn't Taylor, they don't recognize his talent right away, or if there's an injury. And so the fact that it was all on one player, that's not Badger football. That's not what Badger football was. It's honestly a little bit of what Badger basketball is trying to avoid, that we had these little runs of Johnny Davis. Okay, awesome. And then now this year you got two guys, but like, what happens when you don't have the one star? And so with football, Taylor was that guy that kind of, I think, propped up a program that was probably a couple wins worse than they were. And so that's why I go with 17, because for me, that was the end of the era. 2019 was absolutely a relevant and great season. So I'm not saying that season is separated, but that season was a blip. It was one last little, like a program, you know, someone's flatlining and you get the paddles and you're boom, boom. All right, you got it. And they couldn't contain it afterwards, because even if you want to give it to, it is 2025. That's what, the last three seasons or two and a half seasons of Chris, and then Fickell comes in. So there's multiple sins going on with this program. And I think hopefully the program has looked at itself and said, hey, you're right. We identified the problem. The program was going downhill under Paul Chryst. It was not recruiting the way it needed to be. It was not keeping up with the Joneses. It was not playing the type of ball that we wanted to establish here. I think that is a undisputed fact. And then, yes, you can argue it's a straw man what Jim Leonard would have done as the coach here. And I'm not going to sit here and crap on Jim Leonard. Jim Leonard's a Badger legend. I'm just saying it's a straw man. You don't know. You just don't know. Realistically, I would say Lance Leipold would have been the other realistic, smart option to replace Luke Fickell, because Lance Leipold at Kansas had built a program and is still trying to maintain that program, but he continued one at Whitewater and then one at Buffalo and turned around Kansas. So he's someone that knows what he's doing. Again, not that Leonard wouldn't, but if you're trying to turn around a program, you might want someone with a steady hand who is know what's going on. So again, I'm not going back to the flaw of hiring Fickell, because Fickell was the hire. The problem is, and I don't know if this is a Fickell problem, I don't know if this was a program problem, I don't know if this was a player's problem, but nobody recognized how far away the Badgers were, that they thought it was just a coach thing. They thought they could turn it around in the cycle. And Luke Fickell made it worse with the hire of Phil Longo, without a doubt. But I also think Luke Fickell is fully capable of making it better. So, Pablo, I guess we'll get to what – there's not a world where I see the Badgers being relevant in the way that Barry Alvarez is talking about for two seasons. Like, the next two seasons, they're not, because I don't consider Indiana football relevant for a blip on the radar. So if the Badgers go out, and win eight games by hook or by crook, any means necessary, I don't care if every one of those eight wins is ugly as sin. If they go win those eight games with this schedule, now they're on the map as far as fans are excited. You take that eight, make that 10, and now they're going into the next season. You got a football program that will be relevant, that people nationally be talking about.
You know what?
Until then, yeah, not so much.
What makes me feel like stepping it back a little bit and the steps to getting back to true Wisconsin football, what the relevance was just 5-6 years ago, almost half a decade or not even, or even more than half a decade ago. What I think will help Wisconsin, it's not just getting the bowl streak back. I think, yeah, that is a step. And this program has said when they hired Luke Fickell, when Chris McIntosh said that they wanted a person who could help this program not just win Big Ten championships. We know that phrase from McIntosh. Not just win Big Ten championships, but compete for national championships. We got to slow our roll a little bit. We got to figure out what it is. And what I think right now, this is a small baby step, but they just at least have to be in a relevant bowl game. I think, and what a relevant bowl game to me is with New Year's Six and how the college football playoff is changing a little bit with what bowl games are the semifinal and so on and so forth. That changes it up. What I feel like is relevant, honestly, whether it's a game that everybody's watching. It's a bowl game that people care about. Making a bowl game right now just doesn't even feel that successful. I've been part of two seasons where they made it to the bowl game, and in, no offense to it, it's been the Guaranteed Rate Bowl and the Las Vegas Bowl. Those are cool. Those are different. But I'd say, like, honestly, I'd even say the Pop-Tarts Bowl is one that we want to put out there. I sounded like a little bit of a crotchety old man when we had the pre-show meeting earlier today. But that's where I feel like, at least from a small step, that's where I feel like Wisconsin needs to get back to. Be in a relevant bowl game. I'd say Pop-Tarts Bowl and up. Be in a game that people want to watch, they're excited about, and then that's how your program gets back to it. I know that the selection process is going to be different however it goes, but that's just in my mind, slowly but surely. Get yourself into a relevant bowl game and just look tough. I'm sick of all these smoke and mirrors campaigns. Look, you got to put it out there to get people hyped and whatever it is, and I get behind the hype too, and I called out Riley Yauch back there in the booth for being a little bit of a homer for liking this video on the Jeff Grimes hype up. Stop giving me these acronyms. I know that that's what you want to do. You want to be tough and you want to be disciplined, and I think I'm getting, what is it, TD, what was it? It was TD something.
TND, right? Tough, nasty, discipline.
Oh, okay, so I got two of the three just in a different order. So enough with these acronyms, all right? I know that every program does it. I know that everybody's got to have some type of their own bulletin board material, something to slap on like Notre Dame. But listen, let's stop with the smoke and mirrors, and let's just play football, and let's get back to Wisconsin football. That's all I'm asking.
Football! I love it, Pablo. I'm fighting the urge to think that we're cooked with the acronyms. I do think it's a little different in college. College kids are just a little bit more willing to buy in to dumb things like acronyms. I don't know if maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the great coaches have acronyms, but from my experience, it gives me PTSD to crappy coaches who want to speak in acronyms or I'll give you this: coordinator speaking in acronyms is better than coaches, but Luke Fickell has his own acronym, and I'll be honest, I still don't know what team means. But let's look at setting. Well, one more thing off when you're talking about relevance. How about more pros? How about more drafted players? How about more guys in the NFL? I did want to reference that. The 2017, after that, it was TJ Watt and Ryan Ramczyk, Vince Beagle. Those were the players drafted. And then you get to 18, you got Nick Nelson, Fumagalli, Jamerson, Jack Stitchy, Leon Jacobs, and then it's multiple guys again, and then all of a sudden the last few years has been shrinking down. So I do want to reference, I want to set this bar, and we'll continue to talk about this, but we got Sharif Chambliss coming up. We want to make sure we get to him. But with for this year, I think one way Badger football could get on the track, because right now, like, it is a broken down train, if we want to use that metaphor, that's not even on the tracks for relevance. And one way I think Badger football could get there, and this puts a lot on some of the young guys, whether it's Darian Dupree or others, get the running game. 2,000 yards rushing this season, finish with a top 10 rushing attack in college football. I think that's attainable. I think with the mentality that Grimes will bring, and he's done it before, and I think the talent here, especially on the offensive line, and there's a willingness, and I think playing complementary football, Billy Edwards is a mobile quarterback too. Like, I think the Badgers, if you can have a top 10, maybe top 15, fine. But I want a top 10, realistically. Then I'm going to feel good about going forward. If Jeff Grimes comes in here, and wins or losses, whatever, if this team comes in here and gets back to running the football as one of the top 10 teams in the country. Now I feel like, all right, we got one pillar finally set back in place. We've got the wheels back on this dang train.
Yeah, I've been sifting through just the NFL prospects too, and just looking at how it's been at least four or more since I think 2016 from what I'm looking at here. So 2017, yeah. 2017, it's been at least, you know, three or more, and then last year 2024 was the last year where it was only two players were taken in the fourth round. You have Tanner Bordellini and Braylon Allen. Otherwise, the years between then, what did I mention? 2024 to 2017, there were at least three or more Badgers that were drafted, and then a lot of guys signed UDFAs too. I remember in the 2021 season.
That's the other part, yeah. Stitchy, Ball. I mean, there's got the league is littered, and that's where the Badgers, I think, are missing out more than ever. Though, is that they had guys who were maybe overlooked. I mean, that 2019 class, you had Dakota Dixon, T.J. Edwards, Alec Ingold, all on obviously Alec Ingold with the Raiders, T.J. Edwards with the Bears now, but with Philadelphia. So like on that 19 team, those guys were on that team. 2017, Dare undrafted played in the NFL. Corey Clement won a Super Bowl. So Jordan Shelton played in the NFL. So you list off some of those players who not only were they like on rosters. I mean, again, Sanborn starting, but the rest of the guys off the 2022 aren't doing much in the NFL. 2024, I don't think any of those names did anything of note in the NFL this year. So you start looking back and you start looking of those undrafted free agents, because what those guys are, Pablo, are great college football players who maybe don't have the measurables. And it's been a while since the Badgers have churned out a bunch of guys who are just going to hang in the NFL for a few years because they were elite college football players and they know how to play ball, and maybe they just don't have the athleticism to hang in the NFL for a long career.
Jim, do you think that the Badgers can ever recruit a potential first-round guy? I'm sure, hopefully, at some point they can, but in the near future, let's say, can Luke Fickell, do you feel like that this program can find a guy that, you know, whether it's a diamond in the rough or whatever the case is, like, what do you think the legitimacy? Yeah, what do you think the legitimacy is of Luke Fickell and his staff developing a first round talent?
I'll ask it tighter, and then we'll get to break here. But Ryan, you can chime in on this as well. Is there a first round pick potential on the roster right now? I think we'd have to look at the offensive line.
Yeah, I think the only place
that's happening is the offensive line.
I feel like the O line would be the only one. And I mean, let's look at it this way.
I don't know his measurables. That's the other part of it. Like,
yeah,
if he has another high level season, and then if he tests well, maybe he sneaks into it. But I would have guessed if I'm looking at it, it's O line.
Yeah. The O linemen are the guys who are consistently drafted, and usually, at least from even though the last few years have been a little bit on a downward trend, it's the pass rush guys too. You know, we saw it with Keanu Benton and Nick Herbig both going the year that they went to the draft. Obviously, T.J. Watt, a lot of guys in that pass rush. So it hasn't been as consistent as we'd like to see, but they have produced consistently. It's always been guys who are either defensive ends or linebackers and the offensive line. I don't know what the number – who knows? Maybe Jack Nelson could be a guy that impresses people. But I did see some notes at the Senior Bowl, too, that Hunter Waller was super impressive. I don't know if Hunter Waller is first-rounder.
Well, neither one of those guys
I'd love for him to be a first-rounder. And I mean, who knows what teams are looking for? I think a second or third, for late second, probably third, would be a win for Hunter Waller. But I haven't even looked at the roster. Maybe Rico does make a good case. I don't know how confident I feel about guys on the roster right now being a first rounder, even a late one.
Yeah, Ryan, did you have a name?
I mean, you bring up Ricardo Holman. I can't see him possibly being a first-round pick unless he takes a significant jump this year and just has like 5 to 6 interceptions again. Because his size and stature definitely impacts him. But, I mean, guys can overcome that in the NFL. We've seen that from like Jair Alexander is only 5'11". And, I mean, body types do matter a lot and like actual strength and build. But I think if I'm thinking of guys on the current roster, I have to think guys who are pretty young right now, guys who are in Luke Fickell's first or second recruiting class. One name that does stick out in my mind is Kevin Haywood, a young offensive tackle. He's from Minnesota. He's actually the highest rated prospect, I believe, under the Luke Fickell era so far. He's like a top 50 player based off some of the recruiting platforms. If he's a guy who by this season starts making an impact and maybe even is like a starter for this team, and I believe what will be his redshirt freshman year, that would be a guy who you would think in a year or two could have first-round potential. I mean, he has the size and the build for it, too. So especially for offensive line, like you guys talked about. I mean, obviously it matters just who you are as a football player at the end of the day, but size and build and like measurables are a big factor in that. He should have a lot of those going for him.
I know we've talked about Darian Dupree, too, on this show, but something to consider. And every draft class is going to be different, and it's super early for him, but the reason why I would just he's going to be fun. He's going to be electric. Don't get me wrong. But what we think about first rounder too? Jonathan Taylor was a second rounder. Jonathan Taylor went second round. Melvin Gordon was the last running back I believe to go first round too, or one of the more recent ones. That's like one of the, if not the last guy who was a Wisconsin running back that went in the first round. So we have to think about that too from that position specifically. Can Darian Dupree be better than Jonathan Taylor? I don't know. That's something we could see, we could hope for, we could keep our fingers crossed, especially with the state that Wisconsin football is in right now. But otherwise, I mean, I feel like it would have to be either an offensive lineman, like you were pointing out, Jim, somebody who is just absolutely electric off the line maybe, or a super key position player or skills position. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth.
All right, so it's Tanner Cozio. All right, so I'm only saying that kind of kidding.
I like it.
Numbers like he put up a Ball State with his size.
First round?
Possibly.
First round.
I wouldn't be blown away. We do need to take a break here, though, so we can get to talking to, we will in a minute then, I guess, to our friend Sharif Chambliss. But I do want to give a shout out to Chris Orr being named the linebackers coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. Those who followed him at Molly or maybe even this show as well know that I am I like the Chiefs. I can't claim Chiefs Kingdom because I'm a diehard Bears fan, but I do like the Chiefs. There's a personal side of it with my girls being Taylor Swift fans, and then they're getting interested because of Travis Kelce. But then I have a friend who's one of the equipment guys for the Chiefs. And then Melvin Gordon said on a different iteration of the Jump Around that when he left Denver, he was pretty down about football in general. And his 6-7 weeks with the Chiefs was like his best football experience. And I've heard the same from others who have been around it. So I just think the culture of football that they have there is really good. And it is something that I am excited to kind of continue to root for. And now that Chris Orr is there, I'm really excited to see what he can do. We are already efforting to have Chris Orr. If you're new to the show, Chris was a ESPN Madison teammate. And I swear this time last year, he was heading down to play in the USFL. We were thinking maybe he'd be coming back to be doing radio shows with us. And instead, he's now the linebackers coach of the Chiefs. Talk about a meteoric rise. I mean, it is impressive. And I'm happy for him. And I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a star coach in the NFL.
I really wish I was around when Chris was here. Actually, I think I do remember. I believe I was on my way out from filling in at some show, and I introduced myself to him. And I've heard the stories from you, from our teammate Alex Stroff over in Milwaukee. Everything, you know, he's a great guy. He's energetic. He's willing to fight a bear. I think that's the one thing that always sticks out to me. He is fearless. And that's fun. Although I will say the only one thing that disappoints me is that our last episode that we were talking about, we wanted him to come in and be part of the Badger organization, basically, to either be the second hand to the GM or maybe the GM, too, if they wanted to go a younger route. So that just disappoints me to know that he might. It was more of a hypothetical campaign, but we definitely got our hopes up a little bit, at least, to think about it. But it's awesome. And it's super cool, too, to see Leo Chanel just back him up right off the bat. Leo is high energy. You talk about a guy who they're just both in sync with each other when it comes to not just inviting guys who love football, but guys who love Wisconsin football too. They are just tough, hard-nosed guys, the grit factory. Like I went on a little bit of a rant with nicknames and acronyms, but I will say the grit factory, that was pretty tough when they came out with it. And then Death Row.
Yeah, that was players.
That was players.
That was players
that did it. So yeah. I loved it, and I'm excited for the opportunity that Chris has for the Chiefs. And like I said, would love for him to have been back in Madison, but it is what it is, sending him off to the with all the best.
Chief Chambliss coming up here in a second. Steinhoff is celebrating their opening of its Orland Park Furniture and Mattress Showroom with its biggest President's Day sale yet. Now through President's Day, take $100 off every $14.99 you spend and get a $100 MasterCard for every $14.99. See store for details or take advantage of Steinhoff's 36-month 0% financing when you spend at least $14.99. That's the number to remember. $14.99, you're going to get something. It's Steinhoff's biggest President's Day sale ever. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. I'll let you know a little bit of secret. I am absolutely getting a couch probably this week from Steinhoffels because we went there with the family and we picked out something we liked. We just got to circle back and make sure the measurements work, and then we were going to have a new couch from Steinhoffels. We're excited about that, but not as excited as I am to be talking to Shreve Chambliss coming up next.
We're the first ones here!
Steinhoffel's biggest President's Day sale ever. Take up to $300 off every $14.99. Plus, get up to a $300 MasterCard or our special 36-month financing.
George, that was an awesome day. We saved a hatful of Benjamins.
We are back on the Jump Around 3.0, and we are excited to be joined by Badgers assistant coach and former Badger basketball player Shreve Chambliss. And Shreve, thank you so much for taking the time to join the Jump Around with me, Jim Rutledge, and Pablo Iglesias. I'm sure you got a busy schedule. You know, you are in season and you're always, I'm sure, recruiting, and I'm part of it, recruiting your own players too.
Man, we're not going to touch on that. How's it going, Jim? How's it going, Pablo? Everybody doing well today?
Hey, we're doing all right. Jim's back at home. I'm here in the studio. He left me a little solo, but we're still able to do the show thanks to Modern Tech. So we're doing our best out here.
Yeah, I don't want to bring any sickness to the office or anything like that. So, well, let's talk about the success of Badger basketball this year. On the outside looking in, and maybe you use this as fuel for your players, the hype wasn't there for the team. I think even the most diehard fans didn't expect this season. What did you see as a coach and even as a former player that gave you excitement that I'm sure transferred to belief that your players started believing that they can do what they've done so far on the court?
When this group first came together, it was just fun to see like the chemistry they had. There was a lot of competitiveness. Guys knew after coming off last year, probably not getting the results that we would have expected from that team. They knew they had to put in the work this year. And, you know, whenever you have a senior led team and those guys are invested and really bought in, those teams usually have pretty good success. Obviously, it's changed a lot with bringing in transfers, but we've had some transfers come in here, and they've kind of fit in kind of seamlessly, especially John Tanjay.
Coach, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Coach, I'm glad that you touched on that too, bringing in the transfers, but going into the offseason too, you lose a couple corner pieces like AJ Story, you lose Chucky Hepburn, Connor Siegen transferring. You do have to move on from those pieces and have to recover fast. As a coaching staff, through recruiting, whatever the case was, what do you think you and the coaches kind of learned about yourself as you try to bring this team closer together during that offseason?
For us, it's about managing a roster year by year now. You know, you got to be able to move on to the next right away. Obviously, we got the news that Chucky was going to leave us late in the transfer portal season. We had to move on. We had to move on from it right away. We had to try to figure out the best players to get in here so we can be successful this year. And we've had some guys come in, and we've really enjoyed just watching this team just gel together. And from the outside, you know, the fans look at it like, oh, you know, they're used to seeing the team come in here as young guys, freshmen and sophomores, and really getting to know them and watching their growth throughout their years. But now it's kind of changed a little bit. We still believe in that, but we also need to know that the task at hand is making the best roster that we can have and going out there and trying to win as many games as possible.
Talking with Shreve Chambliss, and Coach, you obviously have firsthand knowledge of how someone can be a good transfer, fit the Wisconsin program. You came in here, I believe you were a captain. You transferred in. So, like, does that help you in this new day and age where you are, the portal's just part of what basketball is, that you might have a good idea of what type of person, what type of kid can fit in as a transfer and hit the ground running?
I think I have a special situation with that, just me transferring back here, being from Wisconsin, knowing that I always wanted to play for the Badgers. Now it's changed a lot. I mean, once the money got involved, things are a little different. And, you know, and that's just being honest about it. I'm not sure how much I would have been worth back in the day, but I knew that I wanted to play for my home state and to be able to represent the program that I had watched be successful throughout the years and play for a Hall of Fame coach, a Naismith Hall of Fame coach, and Coach Ryan, and play for great guys that were around him at the time. Obviously, Coach Greg Gar was there. Rob Jeter was there. Saul Phillips, who was a former Division I head coach, is there. Yeah. He's at Division II now. But there were great guys that I could learn from, especially knowing that I wanted to end up coaching.
Coach, again, talking about transfers and just seeing the way that John Tonjay has just – how he has blown up this entire season. He's such a great story. He's fun to watch. He's electric. We love watch. My favorite is honestly watching him from the baseline and throwing a one-handed jam from the reverse side. But, you know, just the excitement, the electricity that he brings. You know, what does it mean just watching his journey this entire season for you?
Well, I think one of the reasons why he's been able to be so successful coming in here is his humility. He's a super humble kid. At the forefront of his life is his faith, and he's not afraid to talk about that. And I think that with him having the experience and having a chance to sit out after being hurt last year, he really knew what he wanted and he knew what he needed to do to get there. And we presented opportunity for him, and it's been written. He's just been great with it. So,
you know, and another person, you know, we talk about athletes that matter. We talk about guys who were here a little bit and developing, and John Blackwell and Nolan Winter. And seeing their development year over year, that's kind of more of an old school story. That's got to be fun to see these players grow within the program and have that success.
Man, talking to John and Nolan the other day, I feel like they've been here forever. They're only sophomores. Obviously, they've been through a lot. We went to the NCAA tournament last year, had a chance to beat Illinois, or had a chance to – we beat Purdue, and then we played Illinois in the Big Ten championship game. So we put ourselves in a position for success. But for those guys to be able to come back here and really devote their whole time and devote their energy to this program, we're super thankful for them. But we also know that they're pretty good, and we got to make sure we do our best to keep them around next year. And I really think that they're invested in the program, and they've seen their success, the step levels that they need to go to hopefully achieve their dreams.
Sharif, from like a big picture standpoint too, with how the Big Ten has expanded, college sports in general has just changed so much since you've been a player, as a coach, as a mentor. What do you think is the biggest challenge through the trials and tribulations or whatever it is, if it's the NIL situations or if it's working through or playing in a larger Big Ten scale? What do you think are the biggest challenges for you as you try to challenge yourself as a coach and a mentor?
I think the biggest thing is making sure we go day by day. I mean, you got to live in the moment. Everybody can always look to the future or what you want to do. If you want to go maybe transfer or try to get the most money or go to another team, you got to live in this moment. And this team is really living in the moment, being able to take each day in practice and compete against each other, try to get better, to go prepare for the game. Obviously, we're preparing for a big game against Purdue this weekend. Mm-hmm. But we're excited about that, just living in the moment. And Coach Gard always talks about it, living where your feet are. I mean, some kids, you know, they may want to miss prom senior year because they want to go to a basketball tournament. But you don't get that time back. Live where your feet are now, and you got to enjoy those moments.
One of the things that I noticed with the staff, Kirk Penny, you, Joe Krabanoff, there's some ballers on the staff. Do the players know that you guys – I don't know if you still can ball or if you were able to ball. And then, like, do some of the staff, you guys talk about who had the best game or who can still score on who now?
Hey, Jim, I like to golf now, so I don't play as much basketball. But we got former NBA guys on the staff with Greg Steensma. Kirk's played all over the world, Olympics. Joe played all over the world. I played in Portugal for a year. We laugh about it, but at one point, Steve Kryl said he Googled us. just to see if we really had it like that. And I said, well, did I, Steve? And he gave me a little nod. So that made me feel good for that day at least. But I think some of the guys understand that, and the way we talk to them and try and just relate to them as players, coaches, it's been great. It's been great.
Coach, one last question before we let you go. Just wanted to ask real quick about, I think this was a Big Ten Media Day from what I had heard, was that John Blackwell apparently had a really good impression of you. He did it away from you at first, and then I don't know. Am I breaking this news to you? Apparently he's got a really good impression of you. And it was just getting everybody rolling. But apparently you don't know about this then, do you?
I don't, but I'm gonna ask him about it today, I tell you that.
Well, apparently it's spot on. It's really good. So I would definitely put him on the spot and see if he would do it.
Okay. I will put you to the test, Paul. I will do that today.
Perfect.
Oh, wait. I cannot wait to hear. No, hopefully it's not going to be extra wind sprints or anything like that. Last thing, you had a run with Wisconsin in the tournament. And tournament for a team is not the end-all be-all of success, because the tournament is such a weird, the NCAA tournament, such a weird way to figure out who the best teams are, because it's one game, it's matchup, it's who's calling the game, who the refs are, all those sorts of things.
For all those people that are just watching basketball in March and March Madness and the tournament, you're missing a lot of great basketball. I mean, there's games on in my house every day. There's been so many great games of basketball on. You're missing a great season. The lead up to it is absolutely awesome. March is fun. I mean, that's what a lot of people judge you on, but the lead up throughout the season has been great.
So that's what I was going to ask you, is that as a coach and a player, both sides of it, like, that's, I feel like a large majority of the watching public is going to judge the entire year on what happens in this one-off. And I remember an old co-host of mine, Gabe Neitzel, and I used to go all the time to, like, stop trying to tear down the legacy of Bo Ryan because he didn't get to a Final Four. This was before he got there. I was like, he has great teams. You just run into Steph Curry or whatever. It's a one-off. Is that something that obviously you can't really control it, but it is one of those things where, like, as you just talked about, the regular season, the journey, I guess I'll say, is the journey for you as a former player and now a coach as important as the end destination?
No question. We go through things every day. We go through things weekly that challenge us. We were just in a staff meeting earlier and we talked about even taking a loss. It's like, we don't take a loss as a loss. We take it as a lesson. Like, how can we get better? What can we do to be our best playing at the end of the year? We're just always trying to progress, always trying to get some percentages better. You have to take it as a journey. You have to take it as it's the same as life. I mean, I can't look forward to what I'm going to be doing 5 years from now. I got to live in the moment and really try to put an imprint on these young men's lives. We can go out there. Maybe it's a lesson we teach them a day in practice that we may not think it's that big, but then they come to us a few years later, like, Coach, I remember when you told me this. And there's one quote that I remember that Coach Ryan, those guys used to say, when the student is ready to learn, the teacher will appear. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it when I was a player. Yeah. But I definitely get it now, not only as a coach, but as a father. And, you know, being a father, being a parent definitely helps you be a better coach. And I want to thank Coach publicly, because he makes sure that we're involved in our family's lives. And some coaches, you know, they think that basketball is the most important thing, and it's really not. Our family, and sometimes we have kids at practice. And the way the players interact with our kids is absolutely awesome. So I definitely want to thank him publicly for that. And we do have a real family program.
Man, that coach-teacher line, awesome. That's a bar right there. Coach, hey, listen, you're getting me excited for March. We're only about a month away from the March Madness tip-offs, too. So I got to ask you, too, everybody's always excited for those first 2 days of the round of 64 on that Thursday, Friday, whatever the case is. Before we let you go, I got to ask you, is there a way that, you know, can we make a campaign to make this a national holiday or something like that, first day of the tournament? Because, I mean, I know I'm glued to my couch when it comes to that day. I mean, I know hopefully you guys aren't glued to the couches, but you get what I'm saying. When it comes to the fans and being excited, you know, tell me a little bit about that, Coach. How exciting that first day is?
Yeah, the first couple of days of the tournament are absolutely awesome. Whether you're participating in it or whether you're watching it, I definitely always thought it should be a holiday. This should be a holiday. Yeah. There's so much going on, and these kids have put their lives into it. I mean, only 68 teams make it. for the obviously March Madness. And we've been blessed to be one of those teams as of late. But again, the lead up to it, I mean, if you're not watching basketball right now and really getting involved with these teams that are watching and getting involved with the games, you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot. So don't let March be the judge of if you had a great season or not. Because I think we got a great team this year, and we're excited to make some noise in March, but we just need to focus on getting better every day and trying to take care of the business on Saturday.
Awesome. Yeah, Coach, got a big one coming up. Good luck against Purdue. Really appreciate you taking the time during a busy week and a busy season to come and chat with us.
Thank you to all the fans. On Wisconsin.
Thanks, all right, Coach.
Badger assistant coach and former Badger basketball player. I like to point that out because I remember him watching him play, and he was a good player. And to me, coming in as transfer and be a captain, it's insane. So really appreciate him joining us. We should have a big announcement, I think, on our next show. So that'll be exciting. We had Pablo Iglesias a couple weeks ago announcement. Maybe we're adding some more things to the show as well. So make sure to stay tuned. If you're missing today's show, listen back, Wisconsin The Man, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. It's also available on ESPN Madison's YouTube. This has been The Jump Around 3.0.